Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the early morning show. My name is Matt Cole. I'll be with you till 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. As always, hope you had a great weekend. Enjoyed some sunshine, some warmer weather. At least it was sunshine where I was this weekend. Went out to Virginia for a wedding for my friend on Saturday. Longtime friend, high school friend. Went to youth group with him for years. So had a good time there. And then watched my sister-in-law, Bree, run for Duquesne at the A-10 Track and Field Championships. So that was a good time, even though completely unprepared like a typical Yinzer in early May. Not thinking about the sun that could be shining. And so got fried up, lobstered up pretty good. And my face is feeling it this morning. But hey, I'd much rather have that than be chilled to the bone, 22 degrees, wind whipping around. I'd much rather be fried and, you know, just getting the first coats, I guess, of the summer. All right, we got a lot of things to go over the weekend because there was a draft that finished up. Penguins are playing well, and there are just a lot of things to touch on as the morning goes on and beyond this to the Fan Morning Show as well. But just for here to 5:40, we'll start with my official scientific, well-thought-out, well-reasoned, highly educated word and description for how the Steelers draft went. As I look at all the numbers and read all these stories and all these different things, I come to this as my description. It was decent. It was decent what the Steelers did at the draft. They hit some areas of need, starting with the running back. Did so in the first round. Yes, I know it's controversial, but is justified in my opinion when you have a complete talent like Najee Harris and you've got depth at other positions of need, like the offensive line. And they really tested that depth, but by not going there in the second round, which I thought was a shoehorn, was a surefire move to make in the second round, to go with a man like Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma or Josh Myers from Ohio State. The two center prospects that were there at number 55 overall. Two starter capable and ready centers. Not just capable, but I think day one, either one of those guys starts in the middle. And instead, they got a tight end. And they got Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. Now, me personally, I wasn't thrilled with the pick. Although I understand the thinking behind it. I mean, Vance McDonald just retired. 2021, clearly about getting Ben Roethlisberger the weapons that he wants and he needs in this offense. And they have gone pretty much fully on board with that. And the draft showed that by going with four picks to start off the draft, all on the offensive side. I'm on board with that kind of thinking. And I think that's what they should do if they're going to bring back Ben back for another year. And Freiermuth might end up being a really good player. Like, I'm not dogging him in particular as a tight end and as an NFL tight end. Because we might be talking about him 3 or 4 years down the road and saying how much of a key component to this offense that he is. He's got that chance to be that for sure. Do it all guys at tight end. And certainly brings more to the blocking and just an overall well-rounded game than Eric Ebron does. And Ebron's also got Some drop issues there as well. I just thought in the second round that was a little high to take. I didn't like the quote-unquote value of that pick, where second-round tight end wasn't what I was thinking and wasn't where I would go with that. But it wasn't a totally wasted pick as far as filling in needs, because tight end was the one position all offseason that they didn't even make a small signing. Just didn't touch that position whatsoever and lost depth at it until they get Freiermuth in the second round. From everything I'm reading and I'm hearing about Kendrick Green, the third round pick, the center from Illinois, he's a gamer. He's a guy who looks like a plug and play center. In college, 29 of his 33 starts came at guard and only 4 at center, which is interesting. But he's athletic. He's a former baseball prospect, and he's got some, and I hate to bring up his name, and I'm not saying that he is this, Kendrick Green, but he's got some Marquise Pouncey-like attributes and what he'll be able to bring, because he looks like he'll be able to move in ways that a traditional center can't or won't. You know, the athletic build that Marquise Pouncey had, where there would be some plays where you'd see Big 53 rumbling and stumbling his way down the field. It kind of seems like Kendrick Green's got a little bit of that in him as a third-round pick. And when Kevin Colbert said last week that he thought the center depth was unusually good, you know, that's the one thing that I pull out of that press conference that was totally meant to throw us all off the scent and to say a lot of words without really saying anything. That's the one thing that he said that he backed up in the draft, and depending on how Green works out, of course, might end up being true. And I think where this whole draft could swing from being decent, pretty good, to really good or great is if Dan Moore, the tackle from Texas A&M in the fourth round at 6'6", over 300 pounds, if he can come in and be a starter right away, or be starter capable along with Chooks and Banner, because I don't know if they're going to give him that opportunity to be a starter right away. They're going to go most likely with Chooks and Banner, and then injuries, lack of production, whatever, go to Dan Moore after that. That's when you're really going to see how effective this draft is, because if he can be a contributor up front that deep into the draft, then you're talking about really good value. And you're looking at, yes, it was a matter of filling the needs. It's just a matter of the order in which you did it. And if you could have gotten a starter on the offensive line that deep in the draft, then you did it well. And for the rest of this, the draft, I'm not going to, you know, go through every one of the picks, but I will say that there was a punter in the seventh round, which certainly catches your attention. And my thoughts on that, I mean, you can make fun of it all you want. You can. And say, wow, punter in the seventh round, are you serious? Like, really, that's where you went with that? A punter. Make fun of it, whatever you want to do. I don't hate the pick. And I'll tell you why. Because I went back and I looked at some of the seventh round picks over the years that the Steelers have had. And I just went back to 2005. So the last 15 years of seventh round picks, 15 years of a sample size, and really only two players stick out to me that were useful players in the seventh round that stuck around, that you know their names, you recognize them, and they spent years in the organization. Those two names were Kelvin Beachum, who is still playing. What an impressive career that guy has made for himself as a former seventh-round pick. And Tyler Medicavich, who was a fringe, you know, linebacker, more of a special teamer, special teams ace. And he's still in the league as well. Those are really the only guys that stick out as seventh-round picks. There's A.Q. Shipley as well. He really didn't hit here. And then there was David Johnson, who hung around for a few years. Okay, since 2005. But this Presley Harvin III, a punter in the seventh round, if he's worth his salt as a punter, maybe you have him around for 15 years. And that's a position in which you don't have to worry about for the next 15 years. Jordan Berry isn't exactly lighting the world up. I don't think you've been impressed very much with Jordan Berry. I don't think the Steelers have been impressed with Jordan Berry. I don't know how anybody can. That's why they brought in Dustin Colquitt last year, even though he didn't work out so well. because they know they can get more out of it. So a seventh round pick as a punter, make fun of it, whatever. I like it. As long as, you know, he's actually good. And another thing that was off of this draft, that was an undrafted signee and something that is, you know, every once in a while you get one of these guys, and maybe more so than seventh round picks, undrafted free agents that make the roster and make a name for themselves in the NFL. There's plenty of examples of it over the years. And the Steelers, I think, have a great candidate of it. Or at least a lot of people are saying that they've got a great candidate to be this guy. Shakir Brown from Michigan State was projected by many as a fourth or fifth round pick. Nearly 40 cornerbacks were selected in this draft, and he was not one of them because he had a bad 40 time. I believe it was a 4.6. Not sure what happened there at his pro day. And there's a lack of height there at 5'8". But he's a guy that had five interceptions, in just 7 games at Michigan State last year. All-American honors, as well as first-team All-Big Ten recognition. This guy can play, and he can make plays. And who does that sound like at the cornerback position? Maybe doesn't have all the measurables at 5'8", but a guy who's always around the ball, always making plays. Sounds like the guy who's now going to be wearing stripes across his helmet in Cincinnati, and Mike Hilton. So there's potential there with Brown as an undrafted free agent. It's interesting to look and see what the trends were for the Steelers in this draft. 8 of their picks were upperclassmen. Nobody opted out of the 2020 season, so they didn't pick any opt-outs. All from Power 5 conferences, which is surprising a little bit because normally they like to have at least a couple players, whether it's, you know, from the MAC, which is their favorite non-Power 5 conference, or somewhere else, somebody from a small school. Didn't do that this year. Went with, I think, production and certainty from these guys, whether they meant to or not. And so going back to how I started the discussion, when I say decent, when I look over this draft class, is because on the surface, it looks like they could have a couple of potential gems. They address just about every position of need with higher priority outside of defensive back, which could hurt them. No, not picking a guy, you know, having an undrafted a free agent, like I just pointed out in Brown, and then having another guy, I believe, in the 6th round, just waiting way too long to address that position. And maybe, you know, they feel very strongly about James Pierre and Trevor Williams and all these guys they already have on the roster. But it's a wait and see now, of course. And when you're talking about the draft, I mean, nobody really knows. Everybody gives out a draft grade, and by the way, if I had to slap a letter grade on this, I'd go with a B, maybe B plus. But we don't really know. It's all at just first glance and what they've done in their college careers and what they might be able to do once they come over and fit into the organization. And as I thought coming into the first round in particular, but really in the draft overall as well, the bottom line is that history tells me that I can largely trust Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin at the draft. If you're just talking first round specifically, they've had 3 first round busts. Artie Burns, Jarvis Jones, Ziggy Hood. And they've had 1 reach in the first round in Terrell Edmonds. In 14 years, over a 14-year span, they've had just 3 of those in 1 reach. So they really don't have years when they're getting nothing out of their draft class. I mean, 2016 was pretty close, with Artie Burns and Sean Davis leading the way, but they're an A-minus at best, B-minus at worst draft combo, Colbert and Tomlin. And I think you can feel pretty good about that as you look at the overall class and you see the potential that they have. And I think this one is no different from this year. All right, coming up next, some other things you may have missed from over the weekend in sports. Plus, to end the show today, one man and a very popular, very well-known draft analyst gives the Steelers the worst grade as he's looking at their draft class. Who is that man, and why did he say that? And also, let's take a look at some of the other teams within this division, because the Steelers weren't the only ones filling needs and maybe doing so very, very well. So are they falling behind? Are they keeping up? Let's take a look at the AFC North Division. That's all coming up next. It's the Early Morning Show. All right, let's review some things from over the weekend that you may have missed.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
One of the best things, I think, that's put out there on social media every year at the NFL Draft is just the little, sometimes they're only like 10, 15 seconds. We saw that with Mike Tomlin that the Steelers put out about when he called Najee Harris and just his initial like, hey, you know who it is. It's Mike Tomlin. We're about to draft you. And all the interactions that coaches have with players that they're about to draft. And this one from Carolina and Matt Rhule calling up a long snapper. Yes, long snappers are people too. In the sixth round, Alabama, Thomas Fletcher gave him the call and his reaction was pretty good. You got to hear it.
Hey, Fletcher, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, bro.
No, you did not.
Yeah. Welcome to Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to the Carolina Panthers.
Dude, chill out, brother. Dude, I cannot wait to help you win, man. I cannot wait to help you win.
I love it. I love it. Well,
hey, here's Dude, thank you, brother.
Yeah,
thank you.
Here's another stepper. Hold on. Fletcher, you're going to be good in Carolina.
Dude, let's go, baby.
You ready, man? You ready?
Are you kidding me? Am I ready? I'll walk my happy ass to Carolina right now, dude.
You walking?
If you want me to, I'll crawl on my hands and knees, bro.
We'll get you an escort here, okay?
Golly, dude, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
I believe that was Mr. Tepper coming in there that he handed the phone off to. So cool interaction there for the Carolina Panthers. And a guy should be happy getting drafted in the sixth round as a long snapper. Also in the NFL and beyond just the draft, on Sunday morning, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said on SportsCenter that Aaron Rodgers is interested in the Las Vegas Raiders and that the Raiders are a team to watch in this as this situation progresses. Now, the Green Bay Packers, they seem very stubborn in this whole thing. That they don't want to let Aaron Rodgers control the situation. And you know what? I don't blame them for that. But I think Aaron Rodgers isn't going to give it up. And I think he's going to cry and whine until he gets his way because that's kind of what he's done at different points throughout his career. And I don't think they can avoid this situation now that he has been so adamant about his displeasure in Green Bay and doing it at the draft. So let's see. I mean, the Raiders are just crazy enough to make a move. They're apparently happy with Derek Carr still, but with John Gruden there, Mike Mayock there, they've got a lot of personalities there, and they're in a big-time city now that wants the entertainment. You definitely can't rule out the Raiders from getting their feet wet in all of this and maybe making a play for Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how that all plays out as we go forward here. And then finally, from this weekend, you know, baseball is one of my favorite sports for a lot of reasons. I mean, grew up playing it, love the strategy behind it, you know, love that it's middle of this. I mean, it just means it embodies what summer is to me, the game of baseball. And I also love baseball because it also has the craziest injuries and the dumbest injuries and the injuries that come out of seemingly nowhere, even throughout the season, where guys are playing with their kids and they, you know, snap a wrist or, you know, they're at home, they get up in the middle of the night to pee and they step on a Lego and get a broken toe. Like it's all this kind of crazy stuff that seems to just happen to baseball players over the years, more than any other sport. And we've got another one recently. Jesus Luzardo of the Oakland A's placed on the injured list yesterday, a left hand fracture. I want to read you this tweet that was the reporting on it. An A's beat writer from the San Francisco Chronicle, okay, as he is laying out this situation, says, Bob Melvin says Luzardo has a hairline fracture in the pinky finger. He said Luzardo was playing a video game before his start yesterday and bumped his hand on a desk. Luzardo and staff were okay with him pitching, and an x-ray showed the fracture after his start. He merely bumped his hand while playing video games. And if any of us have any experience playing any video game ever, especially if it's against one of our friends or online, and things get pretty heated, you know that that bump on his hand and bumping it on his desk was a very, very aggressive bump from Lizardo after maybe things didn't go so well for him at some point playing this video game. So another edition of weird baseball injuries hits Jesus Lizardo and the Oakland A's. Hey. All right, coming up next, one man, very popular draft analyst, says the Steelers, yeah, they got the worst draft class. Why did he say that? And then let's take a look at the Ravens and the Browns in particular, what they did at the draft and how this top of the AFC North changes or stacks up at all as we're a weekend off from the draft being completed. That's all next. The Early Morning Show, it's presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber and apply at 84lumber.com. And a good Monday morning to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Talking all things Steelers draft from over the weekend and beyond as we look at all these analysts and their draft grades. And, of course, everybody wants to make determinations, decisions, and conclusions about this draft just days after it has been concluded and before any of these guys step into a camp or step onto a field with their new teams. But that's what we do, of course, in sports and in sports talk. So let's, if they're going to bring them out there, they're going to do so, let's go over the results of it. And I think one guy in particular sticks out, man that you know very well, Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN put out his draft grades. And early on, he gave Pittsburgh, tied with Indianapolis and New Orleans, the lowest grade in the NFL at a C+. Why did he do that? He said, quote, I just don't see much value in Pittsburgh's class. And the offensive linemen they did take were picked too high. And I haven't ever mentioned that the Steelers still don't have a plan for life after Ben Roethlisberger. This class gets a grade in the C range. And then also said that he's not a fan of picking running backs in the first round, as they did, of course, with Najee Harris, saying Harris needs to be a superstar every down back for this to work out. Now, Mel Kiper is not the only one who gave the Steelers a very questionable grade. Pro Football Focus also gave the Steelers a C grade, which was one of the lowest, and by far the lowest, in the AFC North. They also frown upon the selection of Harris in the first round, arguing that any running back in the first round is a reach. And then the Freiermuth pick in the second round, while they say he's the clear-cut second-best tight end in a class of very weak tight ends after Kyle Pitts, didn't like that all that much. Although they do like Kendrick Green, the third-rounder, a center from Illinois, saying he's one of the most physically gifted guards to come into the NFL in the last few years and is a very good pick for a rebuilding Steelers offensive line. And they also loved the sixth-round outside linebacker from Miami, saying he's arguably the best value Pittsburgh has gotten in the entire draft and saying how he's an elite athlete on the edge. So two major players in breaking down draft coverage, first with Mel Kiper Jr., who's been doing it for, decades now, gives them a C+, and then PFF with a C. It seems like, in just reading what they have to say about it, that they're just so caught up and hung up on the Najee Harris pick in the first round. That the simple fact that he is a running back and they picked him at 24 overall, they just can't get past that. Because it seems like they're okay with maybe the rest of how the draft went. I mean, Kiper said that they don't have much value here. And I guess it's all in how you really evaluate what a draft is. Are you looking at the players and where they were picked, and that's how you evaluate how good a draft was, or are you looking at the overall haul and the talent that they brought in? And so there's maybe a discrepancy there with these two men. But just something to kind of ponder and think about here as we talk about what the Steelers did at this draft, and also something to ponder and think about, is how it stacks up against the rest of the AFC North. I mentioned that PFF has the Steelers as the worst drafted team, I guess, or worst draft grade in the AFC North, and by far. They've got the Ravens at a B+, and the Browns at an A+. So if we look at overall what those two teams did, the two other major players in the North, The Ravens, they got Rashad Bateman, the receiver from Minnesota in the first round. Also got Adafi Owe from Penn State, who was an edge rusher. Got him in the first round. A couple other notable picks for them. They've got a guard in Ben Cleveland in the third round, and then a cornerback, Brandon Stevens, in the third round as well. And then another cornerback in Sean Wade from Ohio State in the fifth round. So they got maybe some depth behind Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey in that secondary, another team that's addressing secondary, by the way, and making it a priority, which the Steelers did not as far as the draft, and getting a playmaker to try to get more out of Lamar Jackson in that offense, and a guy who's coming off the edge to play into their identity of getting after the quarterback some more. So that's why they're drafted so highly, or rated so highly, excuse me. And then the Cleveland Browns. Their most notable picks, first-round cornerback and Greg Newsome. Also got J.O.K. From Notre Dame. I'm not even going to attempt to say his whole name because I'm going to screw it up. I know it. But he is kind of a hybrid linebacker, safety, just defensive playmaker. Added him in the second round after he fell to them. And then Anthony Schwartz from Auburn, who's a really intriguing player for them, wide receiver, who ran, I think, some kind of crazy 40 time. I don't know if he broke a record, but pretty close to it, like 4.2 something in the 40, and can be a playmaker as well. If you get the ball in his hands in space, he could be really, really dangerous. So they added him in the third round as well, and everybody is praising the draft of these two teams. And right now, after the draft, and I thought this going into it, and maybe it's just reiterated that as much as it pains me to say it, that the Cleveland Browns right now are built with the deepest total roster. Go both offensively and defensively now because they have spent most of the offseason building up that defense that was shaky at many times last year. They figured a lot of things out offensively with Kevin Stefanski in there. He brought a lot of stability, and that offense was almost night and day from what it was with Freddie Kitchens the year before that, where they had no structure and just trying to figure things out. There is structure there, and they are starting to get the best out of their playmakers and out of their key components like Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and all the different weapons that they have. And I think Andrew Berry there, the GM, knows what he's doing. Finally, there's some leadership in Cleveland. So as we are fresh off the draft and we look at what they did, I think right now they're the favorites in the AFC North, but it's not by a huge margin. And I don't think the Steelers, despite what Kuiper might say or what PFF might say, I don't think that they are falling behind here as a result of this draft, even though they've got some of these bad draft grades. I think the Steelers could get five starters out of this draft by the end of the year. Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, Kendrick Green, Dan Moore, who I mentioned, the fourth rounder from the tackle from Texas A&M, and then you throw in Presley Harvin, the punter. That's not bad. If you get five starters in there, and maybe that means that you have a lot of holes that you had to fill coming in, and that you tried to meet those holes or fill those holes. But getting five starters out of any draft, I don't know how much you can really knock that. And that might be what the Steelers are looking at the end of the day here. All right, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Whether you're looking for a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle or great service, you'll always find it at Sun Chevy. Today, thick cloud cover, not as warm. Showers around, high of 71. And then tonight, cloudy and warm with a couple of showers and a low of 62. The pre-show, it's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.